Welcome to the sermon podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, The Church at Thessalonica, was preached by our lead pastor, Paul Smith, on Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 6. It was recorded on May 22, 2022, and is part of our series, A Stained Beauty.
Good to see you. And if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn to the New Testament book of Thessalonians. The New Testament book of Thessalonians will be in chapter 1, 2, 4, and then we'll trickle over to 2 Thessalonians also. So have those thumbs ready. And you can use your phone, iPad, however you want to do it. But I don't know if First Alliance is your home church, but make sure you have a church that teaches and preaches the scriptures faithfully. So no matter who's up here, you should know a little bit more each Sunday how to read the Bible for yourself. And so I don't know if there's any graduates in the room this morning, but happy graduation. Not too many at the 8:15 service, understandably. And thank you, John and Tyrone and our worship team for leading us into the presence of the Lord this morning. Our hearts are hungry for God. That's that ache within you, the desire for God, and that's what we hope that you experience this morning from the worship and fellowship and the preaching of the Word of God. A couple quick announcements. Our business meeting is June 12th on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we have fun at it. We were respectful, we're honorable, and yet we also celebrate what God's done and what He's going to do. There'll be more information coming your way. And one of the things, a high value of our church, because it's a high value to Jesus, is prayer. And so every Monday night, we take time from 6:45 to 7:45 to pray here in the sanctuary. It's called Vertical, and we call out to God to do what only He can do. And so if a church isn't praying, there's kind of a lot of activity, but there's no supernatural work of God in people's hearts. So we're committed to praying. So if you can come, we put you in groups of four. It's safe. Somebody will pray for you, and you'll pray for others. We'll pray for needs in our church and the world and the city as well. And so let me pray, and then we'll get into our series called Stained Beauty. It's a series on the church and looking at kind of an honest look at the church through majority of the scriptures and also a book that we're studying together called Stained Beauty that I'll talk about in just a little bit. But let me pray. And so, Jesus, we come to you and thank you for your provision and your grace and your mercies all throughout the week. Our lives are marked by the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we sing. We do not live as this world is our home. We know that we are citizens of heaven, and yet you've given us a mission here to gaze into the beauty of Jesus for the sake of the world. Our hearts are created for grandeur and wonder. Recapture for us, Father God, a vision of your glory and your massive love and holiness to where our hearts cry, holy, 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 for the sake of the world. And together, the church said of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, we're in a series called Stained Beauty, an honest look at the church. The church is God's idea. And so it's one of God's greatest gifts to us. And we all know that recently, the church has had some bad headlines, and understandably so. We acknowledge those. But yet, also, the church is beautiful, and it's one of God's great gifts to us. And so we also want to take a look at that also. Today, we look at the church at Thessalonica, so we're in Thessalonians, and if I butcher that statement, Thessalonica and Thessalonians, be ready, okay? All right? Now, we've been following in the book of Acts kind of the progress of the gospel, and a map up here, the lower arrows, where the church started in Jerusalem, and yet it stayed there, kind of stayed at home base, but Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and so through persecution, and kind of they moved north to Antioch, and then they moved to Galatia, and then they moved to Philippi, that's the fourth arrow, and then they moved today, which is the church at Thessalonica. Now, one of the things that you see in the book of Acts, and book of Acts is recorded by Luke, is that there's a shift of the focus from Peter in the first 10 chapters to the Apostle Paul, the second half of the book. Have you ever wondered why that happened? It's because Luke understands that the Apostle Paul captures the core DNA of the Christian faith. Because when they go north, they're going into life-threatening territory. And the core of the DNA of the Christian faith is faith-filled risk for the sake of the gospel. So he shines the light on Paul and says, this is what we are all about. Is we have faith-filled risk to reach people, knowing that it's heart, Jesus' heart, that all people be saved. And so when they come to the church at Thessalonica, that which was read for us, Paul was in Thessalonica for 3 weeks, and it was a powerful movement of God. He preached in the synagogues. God moved, but it didn't mean that it was easy because God moved. As you heard in the reading of the scriptures, the whole town was put in an uproar because of what God was doing and the upheaval the scriptures were causing. You see this in Acts chapter 17. It says Thessalonians up there. Yeah, there it is. Acts 17 verse 5. It says this, "But the Jews became jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters." Okay, you get in the Bible and you're under bad characters, all right? "From the marketplace, and they formed a mob and started a riot in the city." There was so much uproar because of jealousies from the Jews, because the attention was now going on the gospel, that they caused a massive uproar. And this did not stop after Paul and Silas left. It kept going. And yet, in spite of that, this church at Thessalonica thrives in gospel living, thrives in following Jesus. You see this in what Paul says in Thessalonians 1 verse 7. He says this, "And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Acadia." He says to all the other churches, if you want to look at a church that gets it, if you want to look at a church that you can look at and say, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in a community, it's the church at Thessalonica. Why? Jump up to verse 4. This is what marks this church. "For we know, brothers, loved by God, he has chosen you because of the gospel that came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction." That's that moment of conversion done by the Holy Spirit. Now jump down to verse 9 of chapter 1. "They themselves report what kind of reception you gave to us, how they tell us how you turned to God from idols, you served the living God and waited for his son from heaven." Not only was there deep conversion, but there was a turning away from idols, serving God and waiting for Jesus Christ. The gospel work was deep in them, and the power of God was moving amongst them. But this wasn't all that marked their lives. You see, this movement of God, this power of God, this joy in the Spirit also had something else that was marking their lives. Look at verse 6. "You became imitators of us and the Lord in spite of severe," what? "Sufferings." This wasn't easy. God was moving. They were experiencing the power of God. They were living out the Christian faith, but that was one thing. But on the other side of that, severe suffering because of it. And this is where our lives and the church at Thessalonica intersect. You see, the Christian life is a paradoxical experience of God's power and life pain, holiness and hardships, divine love and intense difficulties. John Stumbo, one of the authors that we're studying in this series, who wrote the book Stained Beauty, says this, "Contrary to some form of thinking, I understand the scriptures to teach us that God's will and ease of life are not always equivalent." You know that. I know that. Say maybe you became a Christian and all of a sudden you're getting excited about Jesus and his words, and you're all of a sudden you start following Jesus, and yet that excitement does not trickle over to some of your friendships or families, and they cool off and they begin to pull back. You get excited about Jesus Christ, you want everybody to know, but your coworker and your boss certainly doesn't. In this life, we know that God's love and we sing about his power, but good old-fashioned sin, sickness, and suffering still affects us. Maybe you remember the day where you stood with that one person and you said, "I do," and they said, "I do," but as time went on, it definitely was, "I don't." Or maybe you knew that someday you would be in a cemetery, but you did not expect it to be this day, this soon, with the one that you loved, and you said, "God, why and what for?" You thought that you landed your dream job, but as time went on, it definitely was a dead-end road. You see, either in your past, currently, or sometime in your future, all of us will have what we call, "This is my second choice life." Well, if you're there this morning, I've got good news for you, great news, hope for you. And it's hope that's found in the gospel. we never move off the gospel. You see, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. The gospel is how we begin the Christian life. See, the gospel is the good news that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've told more than one person that if you were to stand before God and if he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? I would say, God, because you said that you sent Jesus Christ to this earth and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. My only hope, God, is that you're going to keep that promise out of love for your son. That's the gospel. That's Christianity. But we never move off of that. You see, we start the Christian life by the gospel, the good news, but also the gospel is God's empowerment to live this Christian life. He doesn't say, now that you're saved, try the best you can. No, he says, I've called you to a life that I know will have difficulty, that I know will have hardship. You'll have the spiritual battles come your way, and I've empowered you by the Holy Spirit to live this life, and that is the gospel. More than once, I've gone back to this statement that is the outworking of the gospel in my, what I wrote in my journal many years ago, and I've gone back to it over and over and over. It says this, because of the gospel, you will get through this. It will not be painless, and it will not be quick, but God will use this mess for your good. In the meantime, don't be foolish, and don't be naive. Don't despair either. But because of the gospel, you will get through this. Can we say this together? Because of the gospel, you will get through this. It will not be painless. It will not be quick. God will use this mess for your good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive. Do not despair either. Because of the gospel, you will get through this. This, you know what it is. You name it. It's probably a prayer request. Why is this there? Whatever that this is for you. What is so important by God that he's allowed this in your life? Well, maybe this fill in the blank statement will help. Under duress of approximately 725,000 pounds per square inch and temperatures of 2,000 to 22,000 degrees Fahrenheit, a blank will begin to form. And you know what it is? Other than my wife? A diamond. Under intense pressure and intense heat, a diamond is formed. That which is valuable, that which is beautiful, that which we wear on our fingers, and that which is put under glass at Costco that makes our wives pause and stop. Why would God allow pressure and heat to come your way? Because in the Christian life, there are two things that are valuable and beautiful to God when he looks at our lives. Endurance and perseverance. Because when he sees those two qualities in his children, he says, those remind me of my son Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, put your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the what? Cross. There is no salvation for us if there is no endurance and perseverance in him. And when he sees that in us, he sees his son, Jesus. Now the gospel, I'm going to give you three kind of practical outworkings of them so you have hope this morning as you walk out the door. And if you're here this morning and you're like, I need to pray with somebody, we would love to pray with you afterwards. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Paul says this to the church at Thessalonica and says it to you. He says verse 4, for we know brothers, what? Starts with L. Loved. Loved. Now go to chapter 2, verse 6. Kind of the middle. As an apostle of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for children. We loved you so much. Over and over in this First Thessalonians and Second Thessalonians, he makes a point, you are loved by God and you are loved by me. You know why? Don't you feel very unlovable? The gospel says this, our Father's love is not dictated by our circumstances. You see, you are deeply loved by your Heavenly Father. His love for you is grounded in the completed work of his Son. He cannot love you any more than he does right now and will not love you any less. and you go back to the gospel over and over and over. If you know our friend John Stumbo, if you know him now, he is a strong leader of a denomination. He works anywhere from 18 to 20 hours a day. I mean, he just keeps going. But it wasn't always like that. In 2011, John was pastoring a very large church in Salem, Oregon, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, his body just has this disease. It started, the muscles just started to break down, and they didn't know why. His body filled with fluid. It was crushing him. He almost died. I mean, and so much so that they called it the Stumbo syndrome. It was a complete mystery to everybody. Before this, he was a man's man, strong, a marathon runner, something that I've never inspired to do, nor will I ever inspire to do. He did it, but not now. He's flat on his back, about to die. All he can do is pray and call out. I've talked to John personally about those moments in his life, and he said, you need to know that during those times when I was almost to my physical ends, I learned something deeply about God and experienced something deeply about God, something that I've been preaching my whole life, that God loves us independent of our performance and our achievements. You see, all I could do is just be his child and be loved by him, and that's all he wanted me to experience. He went on to say this, the very God whom Satan suggests has abandoned us in difficulties, desires for us to experience his love in ways that can't be engaged when life is simple and easy. And he says, today as I lead a denomination, there are lessons that I experientially learned in difficulty and suffering that keep my soul alive today under the pressures of ministry. You see, if you're here this morning, God has not abandoned your struggling. He's not abandoned you with his love. He's inviting you to experience his love in a whole new way. Now, the second one comes from chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16, it points to a doctrine that's of encouragement. In chapter 4, verse 16, Paul turns the camera from them to Jesus. And he says this about Jesus, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call from God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive, are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. What's he talking about? The second coming of the Lord Jesus. See, this is the good news. Jesus is coming back. Our pain is temporary. 8 times in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, he points, tells to this church, he's coming back. Hold on, hold on. He's coming back. This life is just a vapor, just a vapor. He's coming back and he will make it all right. I've done more than one funeral at a graveside in my 27 years of ministry. And this is what I know if you're a Christian and a child of God. This place is not the final chapter of your life. Have you read, the book of Revelations, when I get discouraged and distressed with all that's going on, I go to Revelations as quick as I can because the book of Revelations is this powerful vision of the conquering Jesus that calls us to overcoming faith when life gets difficult. It's a vision of what's our final chapter, our future because of Jesus. Simply listen to the first 6 verses of the last chapter of the Bible, which is the last chapter of your life if you're in Christ. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for healing for the nation. There will no longer be any curse. No more migraines. No more back pain. No more dieting. Yay! The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. That's us. And they will see his face. Moses had one request of God in Exodus 33. May I long to see your face. And God said, no one man can see my face and live. But now, that longing of our heart to see the face of our Creator is known. Imagine longing to see the face of your Father. And now it's realized. That is your future. He says this, there will be, and said, they will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads, meaning we will have continual thoughts of God. And there will be no more night, and they will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. And the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. How long? Forever and ever and ever. There you go. That is your future. Don't let the enemy get you to believe that what is now is will always be. Ground your joy in the gospel always. Now for the last one, it's this. Go to, you're in Thessalonians, I'm not. Go to 2 Thessalonians. And this one you may not expect. This one you may not expect the power of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul uses his own life to point to them how the gospel works its way out in our lives so we can continue to overcome. And look at what he says in chapter 3, verse 4. He points to himself as a positive example and some others who he says have gotten idle as something to avoid. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who's become idle. In essence, the difficulty has caused them to lose heart. They become half-hearted. They're just kind of going through the motions. And does not teach according to the teachings that they've received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. But what is your example, Paul? We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day laboring and toil so that we would not be any burden to you. Let's stop there. All throughout Paul's writing to churches, he lets them know one of the things that marks his life is that he works day and night. He keeps going in spite of persecution and suffering and difficulty. And so here's the third point, and it's this. The gospel is God's provision of good old-fashioned Holy Spirit, what? Grit. The ability to keep going when it gets difficult. That just grit. Just say, yeah, I'm not, because one of the things I've learned about the Spirit-filled life is that it's all of God and me and all of me. See, Paul talks about this, the walking in the Spirit and living by the power of this Holy Spirit. He says, this is why I work and struggle in Colossians chapter 1. This is why I work and struggle depending on Christ's mighty power that's working within me. You see, it's all of you engaged in all of God's will all of the time and all of God's power working in you all of the time. And in doing so, you walk in his power as you're all in to whatever he's called you to. You see, Oswald Chambers said this, the Christian life is gloriously difficult, but its difficulty does not make us faint or cave in, but call out specifically to God, rise up and overcome. See, God will give you things greater than yourselves to show the world that something greater than yourself is getting you through this. And it's God's power working in you for the sake of his glory. Have you ever read a really great novel or watched a really great movie that kept you on kind of the edge of your seat? I bet you the theme of that novel or movie, the theme of it was not a life of comfort and ease. No, I bet you it was somebody who had to rise up to the challenge, not shrink back, go forward, and keep going. We are not ones who shrink back, but we fall to our knees first, cry out for his power, believe in the indwelling Holy Spirit, and move out in his name for the sake of love. The gospel is our hope. You see, because of the gospel, you will get through this. It will not be painless, and it will not be quick. But God will use this mess for your good. In the meantime, don't be foolish, and don't be naive, and do not despair either. You see, because of the gospel, you will get through this. That last sentence, can we say that together? And let's change the you and input an I. Let's do that. Because of the gospel, I will get through this. Do you believe that? You believe that? I pray you do, because there's something that God wants to put in your life that if you pull back the curtain and see it from a spiritual realm, it's beauty, it's value, it's perseverance, and it's endurance. May the gospel do its work in you this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together as the worship team comes. Father God, we thank you that not only will you just get through this, but you use this to turn us into the person of Jesus Christ. You're such a wonderful Father who doesn't allow anything to destroy us come our way, but will allow difficulty come our way to develop us. You'll all sometimes bring us things that we didn't ask for the sake of allowing us to become whom we must become, like your son Jesus. This is our joy, this is our hope. And the Church of Jesus Christ said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's great commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.